Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Upper Room. I'm one of your co-hosts, Ricky, along with...
Marty.
What's up? And we'll be discussing...
Basically, what we're going to be discussing in this podcast, this is a new podcast, we're going to be talking about different topics that we deal with as Christians, maybe a little bit of, I don't know, what do you think?
Yeah, sounds good. A little bit back and forth.
Back and forth, some conversation, and just things that has to do with, you know... Yeah. Living a Christian life or trying to live a Christian life.
Yeah. And within 20 minutes or less.
Or 20 minutes or less. Hopefully we can do it in 20 minutes or less.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So what's our first topic going to be?
All right. So our first topic that we're going to be discussing was how do we know that God loves us and how much does he love us? You know, that's one thing that I've been asked, especially while doing ministry was and those that are seeking, is how do we know that God does love us? You know, I myself have asked that question. I think we've both asked that question.
Yes.
You know, does he really love me this much? Or, you know, because you hear, oh, God loves you and everything. But does he really love me?
Right.
And that answer, I mean, that's an interesting question to ask yourself. Does God really love me? I mean, it can be, you have to admit that, you know, with some of our backgrounds and all that stuff and maybe our past and everything, kind of shady, not so great. And we might say, I don't know if he loves us. So let's turn to a scripture. And this is kind of going to kind of help you out with how much he loves us. So do you want to do the scripture? You don't want to do the scripture? Okay.
No, hold on. What scripture?
It's going to be Romans 5:8.
Romans 5:8.
I'll read my version, and then you can read your version from your Bible.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds like a good idea. Let's do that.
Okay, so mine's
mine's all in Roman numerals, so give me a second.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are really hardcore Bible.
What is it?
Romans 5:8.
That's a V.
Yeah.
Okay, 5:8.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So my version is the NCV, and it's, but God shows his great love for us in this way. Christ died for us while we were still sinners.
Yours? Oh, yeah. Okay, so I'm using the Young's Literal Translation.
Okay, cool.
And let's see, what does mine say? And God doth command his own love to us, that in our being still sinners, Christ did die for us.
What does that say to you, Ricky? What do you think?
I never thought about it.
Yeah. Yeah. God sent his son on behalf of, you know, on his behalf to die for our sins so that we have eternal life and so that we can be saved by the greatest gift. What do you think that gift is? Grace. Yeah. Grace. Yeah. So, I mean, but what's your thoughts of it? I mean, just think about it. You know, Christ sent his son, knew that, man, there's a people out there in that world that are a bunch of sinners. And he knew that. And he still knows that we're, you know, but he still sent his son, you know, basically to be sacrificed in order for us to have eternal life. Your thoughts? The same.
Pretty much the same, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. My thoughts get really morbid about this.
Yeah, but I think it's some kind of hardcore love to actually give up your own son for that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially to a world of sinners.
A world of sinners.
And what sin is like the opposition to God.
Right.
You know, it's like, and to do that, I mean, for people that.
He knows us, of course, but
don't know him or don't want him.
Exactly. It's the opposite. We don't even know who he is, but here he is, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and then let's look at Ephesians 2:8-9. Ephesians 2:8-9.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you get all these?
It's called reading.
Dude, I've read this whole thing several times. Okay. Maybe I look for different stuff. What did you say? 2-9?
Yeah, Ephesians 2:8 through 9.
Okay. So in mine it says, for by the grace ye are having been saved through faith, and this not of you, of God the gift, not of works, that no one may boast.
Yeah, so in mine, which I'm using NCV, it says, I mean that you have been saved by grace through believing. You did not save yourself. It was a gift from God. It was not the result of your efforts, so you cannot brag about it.
Yeah, yours is a lot more...
flowing?
Yeah, flowing.
Yeah.
Not flowing, and it goes into deeper explanation, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I like it. So basically, it goes back to what I was talking about. You know, the gift that he gave us through his sacrifice of his son for our sins was the beautiful gift of grace. I mean, you know, and I love the part where it talks about you cannot brag about it. So, and it's and in the scripture, it goes right there and it tells you, you can't earn his love. We have to do, all we have to do is accept his love. So some people get it confused with works. And I think as, and we've talked about this before several times, you know, that, you know, some people get confused like, well, I got to do so many things and maybe these things will give me some brownie points or whatever for his love. But you can't brag, you know, you can't.
You can't brag about it because God doesn't, blah, what am I trying to say? What I'm saying is that it's a gift. And with a gift, it's given freely. It's freely given. That's why it's called a gift.
There you go.
And God gave it to you. So you don't have room to brag because it's not about what you're doing. It's about what God is doing for you.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think when it comes to the works and all that stuff, that is actually something that just comes, and we've talked about this before, it just comes natural. It's nothing that you have to do or anything else, or it just flows. Just like his love flows in you, it's the same way your love flows for him, but in an outward expression of his love to others. So, if you look at it, and grace plays a big part in his love. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because without his grace, then yeah, well, we'd be kind of jacked. You know, what else thoughts do you have?
What I'm supposed to come prepared?
Yeah. No, well, I mean, just.
Oh, not like scripture reading.
No. Okay. Yeah.
No, that's pretty much what I believe is not what I do that gets me. You know, because what is it? Oh man, what's that verse in Romans about the out of the prison? All right, so, but in Romans it says, I don't know where it is, but Paul gives an explanation that by your deeds, no matter how hard you work, you couldn't get yourself out of the prison of sin, right? You couldn't get yourself out of there, but, oh, that's a whole different, we're talking about redemption. Anyways, never mind.
Well, no.
Go ahead.
I mean, it's all kind of connected in some ways, you know?
It is, but I don't think that makes... That doesn't have anything to do with today's discussion.
But, you know, the thing is, too, that you have to look at it, a little bit differently when it comes to love, when Christ's love, because it's not the same type of love that we have here. I know it can be hard for us to think of Jesus' love so much that when we think of love, we think of how we can't compare it to the same things of how we think of it today. I mean, you know, in this world, remember that God's a human. You know, he came in human flesh and as our creator and our extender of eternal life, right? So, but what I'm trying to say is just like, it's we can't compare, when we think of his love, we got to think about it out of this world, man. We can't think about the same type of love that we have here. Because, I mean, reality is that there's, you know, we can love somebody, but sometimes there's conditions and sometimes we can just like fall out of love with people. But this is a love that God never falls out of love with us. Actually, it's the opposite. We kind of drift away and fall out of love with him, you know, for some of us. So let's look at John 1:14.
John 1?
14.
Or the first letter of John?
Yeah, John, just John. It should be that one, I think. It should say, I'll read mine. Okay, John 1:14 says, the world became a human and lived among us. The word became human and lived among us. He saw his glory, the glory that begun to the only Son of Father, the only Son of the Father, and he was full of grace and truth. So that was
the Gospel of John.
The Gospel of John, yeah.
I was in the...
I'm sorry. The Gospel
first
of John.
First letter of John.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Gospel of John. The word became human and it lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory that belongs to the only Son of the Father, and he was full of grace and truth.
Right. Yeah. In mine, it says, and the word became flesh and did tabernacle among us. Mm-hmm. And we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of a Father, full of grace and truth.
So right there, it says, remember that God was he came in human flesh, right? You know, as our creator, extender of, you know, eternal life. It's like what I said before. So my point being is that he came here in order to, I guess, you know, well, we know the story, but the love that he gave us, I'm just trying to, I don't know how I can kind of explain this to you, but it sounds kind of stupid, but it's beyond our comprehension, our understanding of love.
Right.
I mean, and what
only way I can ever, I've tried to explain that type of love before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I can think of that can come close to it,
mm-hmm.
is that if anybody has children or has parents, that love that you have for your children, it's like that, but magnified infinite more.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because you love your children and you would do absolutely anything for your children.
That's the same here, but beyond that.
That is a shadow of the true perfect love, mm-hmm. that is from God. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that it, even if you look at it as an apparent aspect, so with all the world, the way the, you know, things in the world now, and let's just use this for an example, that let's take homosexuality, you know, for instance, you know, and in some cases you use the examples as a love, like a parent, right? But there have been some families where they rejected that person or that family member because of their lifestyle of being homosexual, right? But that's not the same type of love that Christ has. It's beyond that. I think my issue before is knowing that how could a God actually love somebody like me, you know, for all the stuff that I've done in my past, you know? But the thing is, he already knew my sins before I even did them, right? He already knew me before I became who I am. So therefore, you know, that's what I'm saying. He already knew what he was getting into when I appeared or I turned to him. So, you know, so that's why I'm saying that even though it's a great example of what you use, but even as a parent, there's been some people that actually rejected their family member because of issues like that. But with God, that's not a big deal.
No, because he has a perfect love and our love is flawed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another way. That's the way I look at it. I mean, it's not a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the best one I can come up with. You know what I'm saying? Because how do you put into human words something that is beyond comprehension? A love that cannot, that beyond. I don't know.
I mean, it's like he's so in love with us. I mean, you know, like I don't know, man. It's like even beyond, like when you were a kid and you first, you know, ran into your first girlfriend, man, you're so in love and things like that. But it's just even beyond that. It's even stronger than that. It's stronger than, you know, a parent's love. You know, I think we talked about this before as an example of how, even though we have these issues or we come to him with all this baggage, all these bags of sin. I like the example that you talked about last time in Luke,
uh-huh.
about the, and on the crucifixion, you know, Luke 23:42-43. You know that one? Remember on the crucified? Let's look at Luke 23:42-43. And then I'll read mine first, since I have it first. It says, then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said to him, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise.
Yeah.
That's a cool scripture, because that kind of gives me trust and faith that, you know, that he's going to accept me into his kingdom, you know, even though I come with all this baggage that I've had for all these years, you know, and continue to gather more baggage every day, you know? So, but I love that when Ricky and I were talking about that, you know, and he mentioned that, I'm like, man, that's so true about, you know, that thief and all the crimes that he was being crucified along with Jesus. And then he turned and he had the truth and he had the faith, you know, and he had the trust that he turned to him and says, hey, remember me. And Jesus says, well, hey, you're going to be with me, you know? And that's kind of like, that just gave me more, you know, believe it or not, the day that we talked about it, it gave me more assurance in myself. Because even though I've been in ministry for a while, there's sometimes that I think like, God, I'm not there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm just kind of not the greatest person in the world. You know, maybe I'm being hard on myself. But when you brought that up, I went back and I read it. That's why I brought it in here today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I said, you know what? That's cool because you give me a chance.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm saying that it's the perfect love, and our love that we have in this world is just a shadow of that.
Yeah, yeah. You want to read your version of it on your
phone? Yeah, I can read mine. Okay, yeah. I found it.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Okay, it says, and he said to Jesus, remember me, Lord, when thou mayest come into thy remember me, Lord, when thou mayest come in thy reign. And Jesus said to him, verily, I say to thee, today with me thou shalt be in paradise.
Yeah. You know what? It was a true act of faith. Jesus promised him eternal heavenly life despite of the sins and crimes that, you know, that was part of his past.
Right.
You know? So that's pretty awesome, I think, you know, and it just kind of gives me assurance. And then you sit down and think about, for instance, like how much does Christ love us? You know, still there's that one part, you know, how much does he love us? Well, come on, man. I mean, look at that. I mean, just look at those scriptures right there. But now also look at, like, we talked about earlier, you know, that, you know, when you have a girlfriend or your mom or something, how much do you love me? I love you this much, an inch, you know, or here this much, or as tall as this tree. But think about Christ. You know, when you look at how much Christ looks, just look at the cross. Look towards the cross and look at his extension of his arms being as he got crucified. And that's how much he loves you. I mean, that's right there. It's just like, you know, we think of Christ. You know, you see him out there with his arms extended open, hung on that cross saying, hey, I love you this much. I mean, come on, man. That's some deep stuff. But for someone to, you know, for some of us, and even those that are seeking or and don't really know Christ, I mean, he loves you. He really does love you, you know. And I want to thank you for putting that on my, you know, on my mind, because actually you didn't know, but I was been kind of, Like, man, do I need to do something else or whatever to feel more like, you know, that I'm right and that, you know, God loves me. But after you put that in my head, I'm like, you know what, let me go read that again. And then I started reading. I'm like, nah, I'm good.
You're good.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you for that.
You're welcome, man. See, maybe that conversation was ordained by God for it to happen, man.
Yeah, for us to talk about it. Because I was going through some stuff, you know, because I was questioning, like, man, I'm not the perfect person, but I'm thriving for that perfection. I'm just trying to be the best that I can. But, you know, there's little boost.
And help. On that, my friend, on that, let me remind you what he told them in the upper room. Let not your heart be troubled. There you go. That's it. That I tell myself that every day. Let not your heart be troubled. Because, you know, we live in a complicated world with a lot of problems, globally, personally. Let not your heart be troubled, man. I tell myself that every morning, because we have hope through Jesus Christ that, you know, we'll be with him in paradise. Yeah. And so it's an amazing promise. It's an amazing feeling to have that promise, to feel that love. And I mean, sometimes I don't feel it. Sometimes I don't feel it. That's not a lie, but I know I have it. And I just remember the scriptures and I recite it to myself. When I start feeling low, I just tell myself that, and there you go. And, you know, in this passage too, you know, cause about, you know, about the, you know, you'll be with me in paradise, whatever. I mean, that always gets me, because, you know, I'm not a perfect person either. I wasn't for a very long time, and still not. And so when I read that, it was just an amazing feeling that, you know, there's more to this life than what we see. And it's to know that all the hard things, all the troubles, they're going to come to an end. And I just can't, because God loves us that much that he's not going to forget you. He's not going to let you, you know, fall into dust and stay there. He's going to pull you out eventually. I don't know when, but he will. Yeah. But you just, like, you know, Paul says you have got to have faith in Christ. Jesus says, have faith in me. Have faith in me. And so I will, and I do. That's all I got to say.
Well, that's cool. No. So I want to remind you guys, if you guys are, you know, not sure or whatever, man, just pray about it, you know. There's not a special prayer. If you want God, even if you are those that are seeking, that are listening to us right now, and you know, you want that love will accept it. Pray about it. There's no magical prayer. Just ask Christ to become part of your life and let him in your heart, and there you go, man. Yeah. So, but I guess we're going to cut it from there, and then we'll be back again.
Yeah, we'll be back.
All right. God bless you guys.